Rapids 1320 AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is Matt LePay, and you're listening to your home for your Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. Second-degree murder and kidnapping are just some of the charges five former Memphis police officers face after the death of 29-year-old driver Tyree Nichols after a traffic stop confrontation. Nichols was black, and so are the fired officers. CBS's Elise Preston in Memphis.
The city of Memphis is bracing for possible backlash when videos of the confrontation are released. In a video statement, Memphis Police Chief C.J. Davis called the officers' actions reckless and inhumane and urged protesters to remain peaceful.
I expect you to feel what the Nichols family feels. I expect you to feel outrage in the disregard of basic human rights, as our police officers have taken an oath to do the opposite of what transpired on the video.
Officials are trying to figure out why the 72-year-old Monterey Park, California shooting suspect opened fire in a dance studio last weekend. CBS's Jonathan Vigliotti and Los Angeles County Sheriff Robert Luna.
As a community mourns the loss of 11 people, investigators say the more they learn about the gunman, the less they understand a motive.
It doesn't make sense.
New evidence shows 72-year-old Hu Can Tran was not married, did not appear to know the victims, and was not a regular at the dance hall.
We do not believe the suspect has frequented the dance studio in the last 5 years.
Israel says aircraft strikes Gaza militant sites hours after Palestinian militants fired two rockets toward Israel. The exchange came hours after Palestinian officials say an Israeli raid in the occupied West Bank killed nine Palestinians, including at least seven militants. Israel said the raid was meant to prevent an imminent attack against Israelis. An Islamic extremist who killed eight people in New York City in 2017 has been found guilty. Saifullah Saipov ran over the people on a popular bike path with a rented truck. The jury found Saipov guilty on all eight charges, including supporting a foreign terrorist organization. WCBS-TV's Alice Gaynor with more. We'll get Alice in just a moment. Feds infiltrate a big ransomware gang, and as Deputy Attorney General Lisa Monaco puts it, they were basically attacked or hacked the hackers. And we get back to the bike path story in out of New York City with WCBS-TV's Alex Gaynor with more on that.
10 friends from Argentina were riding bikes in pairs. Survivor Martin Morrow testified, a friend positioned my head so I wasn't drowning in my own blood. Darren Drake from New Jersey was struck and run over. Nicholas Cleaves from New York was killed. His mother held her head in her hands when a picture of his lifeless body under a sheet was shown in court. 12 were injured.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance, so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual Insurance.
Eric was way behind on his taxes.
I owed a lot of money to the IRS, almost $15,000. I tried to make payments.
The IRS wasn't satisfied with Eric's efforts, so they came after him full force.
They're coming to put a lien and a hold on all my income, my home, my car. I was just overwhelmed at what to do.
Then Eric called Optima Tax Relief.
When Optima Tax got involved, the calls would stop, the threats would stop. It was easy, like, 1, 2, 3.
Optima Tax Relief is A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau, and their team of expert tax professionals took care of Eric's problem.
I owe $15,000, and now my debt is clean. I don't owe anything.
Take Eric's advice.
If you have a tax problem, you need to call Optima Tax now.
Call Optima Tax Relief for a free consultation. Call 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
My friend Teddy almost set his house on fire. He used a counterfeit, you know, a fake wall charger. He had to go to the hospital.
My big sister Jenna's face turned bright red. She was just showing people online how to use a new cream. She still has the scars.
My brother's friend Billy had to jump off his motor scooter when it caught fire. He fell and got hit by a car. He broke his leg, blew his chances to play basketball in college.
My BFF Chloe was riding her bike and hit a ditch. Her helmet broke in two. Now, she has a brain injury.
There is a cost to buying cheap. Do you want to pay the price?
Real products are tested for safety. Protect yourself. Don't fall for fake products.
Visit ncpc.org/goforreal. Brought to you by the National Crime Prevention Council and the United States Patent and Trademark Office.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Lows level off around 10 above. Tonight, under mainly cloudy skies, south winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow, snow likely, highs level off around 30. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow night, lows level off around 7 above. 1 to 2 inches of snow tomorrow through Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 12.
Serving central Wisconsin since 1940.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
I gotta tell you, I saw this thing about M&Ms and now Xboxes that have got all the righties all losing their minds. You know, who's the snowflake again? Did I miss something? I don't know. Yeah, the purple M&Ms have got people all enraged. Yeah, but the good thing is, you know, Maya Rudolph now going to be the spokesperson for M&Ms in the Super Bowl commercial. So got her a gig. Good for her. But how do you get upset about a purple M&M? I don't. Personally, if I saw a purple M&M and I think it was just sat in the bag too long, I would probably still eat it though. Because M&Ms are good, even though they're made by a company that's not unionized. But here to share some thoughts on the M&M gate. That's our good friend Sarah Burris to come share some thoughts. Sarah's a reporter over at Raw Story, rawstory.com, the website, if you want to check out her stuff. Sarah, thanks for taking time for us.
Hello, happy Thursday.
Would you eat purple M&Ms?
Totally. I mean, I do every Easter. Have you looked at the Easter M&Ms? They're all like pink and blue and purple and fun and whatever. I think what I had heard about the M&M, the purple M&M controversy, is that I think Tucker Carlson thought she looked obese, except that she's a peanut M&M. And I'm like, what did you think was in there? Like, do you think it's just fat or something? Do you think she needs to do some sit-ups? And she's not real also. Like, that's the thing.
But again, who's the snowflake again?
I know. I don't understand. That's the whole thing. Like all of these bizarre conspiracies and the gas stove thing. Like I haven't heard about any of this until Republicans start talking about it. And it's like, I feel like I'm kind of in with the whole, you know, liberal crowd of people. I feel like if this really was a legitimate thing, I would know it. And that's how I can tell if they're making stuff up or not.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when I go to my George Soros-funded meetings, we're not talking about purple M&Ms and Xboxes, are we?
Our special George Soros orgies and satanic worship fest.
I mean, seriously. I mean, they've created this environment that thinks anyone that isn't as extreme as they are, you know, belongs to these kind of cult groups that thinks about M&Ms and indoctrinating children over global warming with Xboxes. I'm going, no, it just makes sense when things are left on. When I was a kid, my mother was like, turn the damn lights off. When you leave a room, turn the lights off. When you're not playing the game, turn the damn thing. Now we've got the technology. It'll turn itself off. I'm game.
Right. I mean, there was the whole thing about, you know, don't leave the door open or you're going to air condition the whole neighborhood. You know, stuff like that. Yeah. And it's like, that's just a financial thing. That's a normal, I think about like growing up in Redneck, Oklahoma, it's like, do people there, I haven't talked to any folks about this, so I have no idea. But are people there looking at this and thinking like it's some sort of crazy conspiracy to now all of a sudden turn your lights off? Or that's just good financial sense.
No, I remember my mother, well, you're born in a barn. Well, you should know. Yeah. I was you were there.
All right. Nay. I was not born in a barn.
Well, there is that. But you know, the thing is, the thing that bothers me is this is the kind of stuff that they spend so much time on, you know, feeding the outrage candy, not purple M&M candy, but feeding the outrage candy to people who get all upset. And the real stuff that matters never seems to get any real attention. For instance, you may remember that this John Durham was supposed to be the attack dog for Trump and for Billy Barr, was going to drill down to the bottom and find the Russian hoaxers, and, well, got nothing. In fact, a couple acquittals, nothing. And I guess they're now closing the investigation, well, with nothing.
Not only nothing, my favorite piece of this that I feel like was just sort of nested in that story is that at one point Durham met with some representatives of the Italian government to ask about, you know, the whole Russian conspiracy thing. And they're like, yeah, we don't know anything about that. But now that you're here, we have a whole bunch of information about financial crimes that Donald Trump did involving Italy. Who do we give this to? And it's like, oh, my God, you guys. And that piece of it, I feel like it was kind of dismissed, and Americans didn't find out about that because, oh, wow, look, it was right before the election. And so there's a lot of stuff in this, you know, that was involved in that. And I think that happened in the Justice Department under Bill Barr that I feel like warrants a larger investigation. And it seems so silly to be like, well, let's investigate the investigators who are investigating the investigation. But this is kind of like, it's kind of where I am at this point, where it's like, can we not have any corruption? Like, is it possible that we have some reasonable level of ethics and responsibility in the Justice Department? Is that too much to ask for at this point?
Yeah, I mean, but there's part of me that goes, can we just, you know, collectively have a moment of, let's have a reset.
Yeah.
Let's go from this point forward. Maybe a mass amnesiac. I don't know, because you know that there are so many investigations and so much stuff, and it's all meant to just rip us apart. Because you know you couldn't have written a bad script of what those 4 years were.
Yeah, you really couldn't. I mean, it's kind of like the George Santos stuff, where you know you could write a movie about this, some sort of political movie about this, and you take it to Hollywood, and they'd be like, yeah, nobody's going to believe this. And that's sort of like what the Trump campaign was for, or the Trump White House was for 4 years. And still suffering the after effects of that.
No, one of my favorite movies.
I think we will for some time.
No, one of my favorite movies is Idiocracy. And I'm going, that seems pretty, well, it seems like today. Because it doesn't seem far-fetched. And when it came out, it's like, wow, you could have done more with it. But you go, well, I hope we don't get there. We're there.
Yeah, I feel like there were better ethics in Animal House.
You mean when the Germans attacked Pearl Harbor, or what did Belushi say? Oh, are you waiting for the next bit of entertainment, the State of the Union coming up? Because evidently, lawmakers are bringing guests.
God, I completely forgot about that part of the thing, and it's going to be such a cluster and it's going to be a joke. I mean, that's the thing, is you've got so many members of Congress who are already a joke, and so they're going to treat this as a, you know, ridiculous thing, and I don't know. It's just, I'm so over this already, and we're only, like, what, a month into it? I'm over this Congress.
No, I'm with you. But, you know, the thing is, and I go back to, you know, how much outrage came out of when Joe Wilson yelled out, "You lie," to where I'm expecting people to start throwing tomatoes or something. I'm expecting the Idiocracy I'm expecting that. This is how far down the hole we've fallen.
Honestly, I think if they did something like that, it would work out more in Joe Biden's favor than anything. Any point at which they start making a fool of themselves, you know, screaming stuff, throwing stuff, like the more that they behave badly, I think the worse it makes them look. And they haven't figured that out yet. But, you know, everybody's mom is just like, sit down, be quiet, be polite, you know, like
everyone's. You know, because I guess it's maybe the
every normal mother out there is be polite.
The caveat.
You're a guest. Be polite. Wear something nice. Wash your face. Wear clean underwear. You know, like, these are the things that I feel like I've been told my entire life.
As you should. That's what a good parent does. You want to have some bit of morals, some bit of ethics, some bit of, well, we're talking about Republicans here. Never mind. Sorry. And I hate saying that. But I look at this clown show and, wow, and no bigger clown show going on right now than tomorrow the RNC going to elect a new leader. Will it be Rona McDaniel? Will it be this Harmeet Dillon? Or will it be my guy? I want the pillow guy. I am so hoping for the pillow guy.
Oh, man. I wonder if Mike Lindell takes over the Republican Party, does that mean every registered Republican gets a free pillow? Like, how does that work? Because from what I understand, they're also subpar pillows. So, yeah,
everybody I know who's ever had one said they're garbage. Yeah.
So does that mean the entire country is going to have a crick in their neck for like a couple of weeks before they figure out what it was? You know, I feel like that is a form of terrorism right there. Just make the entire country feel really uncomfortable for a few weeks.
See, that might get them upset because evidently, you know, the threats of creating a 30% federal sales tax, which would just send inflation through the roof, and granny would be screwed because, well, you're paying sales tax where you weren't really paying a lot of income tax, and then wanting to cut Social Security and all of that. It seems like that would be something to motivate people to get out in the streets and be a little angry and get upset. But, you know, maybe your idea of just being uncomfortable with a pillow is better.
Perhaps. I think the thing with the sales tax is I don't know how real of a proposal it was because it was already withdrawn pretty quickly.
It was 132 pages. They put some thought into it.
Somebody did. But when it came time for everybody to talk about, like, is this going to actually happen? You know, and once Democrats spent an actual day, you know, attacking it within 24 hours after the press conferences Democrats held, Republicans were like, yeah, no, we're pulling this.
And this is where Democrats have got to not let up. You got to get out there and go, remember what they wanted to do? They wanted, this is what Republicans do masterfully. In fact, you got to find granny who checked herself into a mental health clinic because of anxiety, because she was so afraid that they were going to cut her Social Security and make her a poster child. Cause this is what Republicans do. They do it masterfully.
Well, and we're about to walk into, you know, a government shutdown because they've decided that they're not going to raise the debt ceiling come hell or high water. So, or the only way that they would raise the debt ceiling is if they made cuts to Social Security and Medicare. So there you lose either way on the Republican plan. And I don't know if it's going to be one of those debt ceiling fights like what we had with Donald Trump. I really hope not, but it might be.
Yeah, no, see, I think we're in a moment right now where, you know, we've been, you know, every time there's one of these, we went through it during the Obama years. Every time there was a ticking bomb, they would take it down to the last minute, and then you know, something would happen to, oh, we averted crisis. I really believe that, you know, people have listened to that and going, yeah, how bad could it be? And there are people who are in our Congress right now who literally want to shoot the hostage. They want to see what happens when let's see what happens when we default. How bad could it be?
It's true. And the thing is I think a lot of folks who lived through the Obama stuff, the Trump stuff was more recent, I think. And that was so long. Like, that was the longest shutdown in history. And I mean, it was a disaster for the Republicans. It was really embarrassing. And that was the infamous picture of Pelosi wagging her finger at Trump over the table. And the sunglasses, like, she came out of the White House and like put the sunglasses on, and that was a huge thing. So I remember Democrats just winning that big and Republicans looking really terrible. And over again, like, every time this happens, we keep telling them, like, you're costing more money in the end.
Yeah,
like, this is costing the country, the taxpayers. this makes the economy worse every time you do it. And I don't think that they care.
No, I think that's the point. Again, I think they want recession. I think they don't want inflation to come down. I think they want all of the negative so that they can say it's all Joe Biden's fault. I can't tell you how many times I get emails from people going, you know, gas prices are this and it's all Joe Biden's fault. You know, egg prices, the egg thing. You got Marsha Blackburn running around saying, you know, people are going to Mexico to get eggs because of Joe Biden. And I'm going, no, we've got a major avian flu outbreak in our chicken supply. And, oh, by the way, corporations are gouging our eyes out with massive profits. How about we talk about that? No, that's Joe Biden's fault. No, it's corporate problems. Yeah. It's those criminals that are robbing us blind.
It is. It's absolutely the problem. And, I mean, there are a lot of small farms and farmers markets where you can go get reasonably priced eggs. So I encourage folks to actually do that. I've got a bunch of friends who have chickens right now. So, including ones that actually live in the city limit chickens.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I have a kind of an unrealistic expectation of how much eggs cost because of that. But, you know, get now, some chickens.
But here again, the point being for me is you got Marsha Blackburn, who should know better.
I think she does. She just doesn't care.
And this is my point.
I mean, it's the same
point.
Thing that she's talking about all this crap on the border. I mean, like all of her, every single time she talks about the border, she's like, Joe Biden is messing up the border because we just seized, you know, another giant shipment of fentanyl. And it's like, oh yeah, Joe Biden seized fentanyl again. And you say that's a bad thing. And I mean, like she keeps saying stuff like this over and over again. And I don't know if it's just like the world's worst social media person or if she's, you know, just truly that clueless. But I can't imagine somebody could really be that stupid. But Marsha Blackburn, I don't know.
I don't know.
She's the Michelle Bachman of the South, I guess.
And I so miss Michelle Bachman. Do you remember when Crazy was fun?
Oh, the crazy eyes on Time Magazine.
Yeah.
Oh. You remember, we'll never get over that.
I pine for the days of Michelle Bachman kind of crazy because, I viewed her always as, you know, kind of fun, crazy, not horribly cruel, mean. Maybe she is, but at least
the thing about Michelle Bachman is you knew she was never going anywhere. She was never going to get like a big career. She was never going to become like some big, huge Sarah Palin like person. And so it was fun. It was more fun that way. But when you have somebody like, you know, Sarah Palin, who is a vice presidential running mate, or Marjorie Taylor Greene, who is the new BFF of the speaker and people are talking about as a vice presidential candidate, like that's where stuff gets scary and real.
Yeah, no, it's going to be interesting. I want to get your final thoughts on, have you checked your closets? Do you have any classified documents, anything laying around you might want to share with us?
I do not have any classified documents that I have been able to find. However, I have heard that they are finding a lot of documents in the homes that Jimmy Carter built for Habitat for Humanity.
You used it for insulation?
So, yeah.
No, it's
I don't
one
even
those...
keep my own documents. Like, that's the thing. It's like, I don't keep half of my stuff. I'm trying to sell my car right now and I can't find my title. So, to order a new one. Like, This is, I don't do paper. I try and keep paper out of my life because it just ends up collecting dust somewhere.
No, I hear you. But this is one of those stories where now I get stuff from all of my Republican listeners saying, well, you know, if you're going to go after Donald Trump, you got to go after Joe Biden. And now, you know, Mike Pence, obviously, and I'm sure there's going to be more down the line. Do we have a problem with our documents?
You know, there have been a couple of folks that have talked about an overclassification of documents. I'm not aware enough about the classification system to know if that's necessarily the case. But all of the intelligence senators are kind of saying this is a problem. It's been a problem. We've been talking about this being a problem for a while. I think this is a perfect example of it. Another piece of it too, I think, is it's an antiquated system. That's something that Ron Wyden talked about whenever we caught up with him at the Capitol was, you know, this is something from the Dark Ages. Why are there still pieces of paper? Why is this not an electronic format or like a barcode on it where you can scan and track every place that the document has been? I mean, there are a lot of different options that you could go to that just seem, this just seems like a really old system that has outlived its usefulness.
Yeah, that's well, we'll see. The difference, though, is, and as I tell everyone, there's a huge difference. Pence, Biden, both said, "Well, yeah, here we got him. Take him back." The other guy, every justification under the book. And my this most recent one last week is my favorite. They were pretty envelopes. They were pretty folders. Who doesn't love pretty folders with words on them?
Every time he would have a meeting, he would collect the folders because he thought that they were pretty. Like, oh, that is the biggest BS I've ever heard in my life.
Everyone repurposes manila folders. You know that.
Right? Like, who wasn't sitting in that meeting thinking, God, if only I had expandy file in my life, it would be so much better.
There you go.
Really?
Sarah, I appreciate the time. Thanks so much.
Have an awesome weekend. See you later.
You as well. Our good friend, Sarah Burris. Make sure you check out her work over at Raw Story, rawstory.com, the website. Going to take a quick break right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. Fan of the show, you've heard our Labor History in Two segments, and you can hear them on the radio pretty much anywhere in the U.S. Labor history has never been more important than it is right now. So here's what we'd like you to do. Tell a teacher. Tell a teacher that labor history is important and that they can get digestible two-minute lessons that are absolutely free. Free to download, free to use, free to share. Tell a teacher to go to thericksmithshow.com/history and help us put labor back where it belongs, in the classroom. You know, generations of American workers fought, bled, and died to build the American way of life. It's our job to keep their stories alive. Go tell a teacher that we're here to help them do just that. Find us at thericksmithshow.com/history today.
Welcome back to The Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
Welcome back to The Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, thericksmithshow.com. Quick email from Jason. Jason says, hopefully Democrats are not looking to cut neoliberal deals like administrations of the past. Looking at you, Obama, after making the Bush tax cuts permanent. And Bill, who did the welfare reform. And look, this is one of the things I've been saying about Biden that I'm happy about. It looks like we're moving away from that neoliberal kind of corporate dealings. Now look, you know, as another emailer pointed out, Biden appointing Andrew Biggs to the Social Security Board is really troubling. A Heritage Foundation guy who hates Social Security. I don't know why you would put someone like that on the board. But it's one of those things where you go, we got to keep pressure on them. We got to keep pressure on them to say, no cuts. No cuts to Social Security. In fact, we should be expanding Social Security. The way forward for working people in this country is to ensure that there's a basis for dignified retirement, for security in old age in both health and income. And that's the mastery of what Social Security and Medicare have given our seniors. And we want to make sure that continues into the future. Don't do what's been allowed to happen to generations of workers over the last couple of generations. Or we took away defined benefit pensions that said when you retire, you will get this much money till you die, to these contribution plans that go, oh, well, you know, if you can save money, we'll give you a tax break, knowing that the vast majority of people don't have the resources to put aside. And that's okay with corporate America, because, you know, I love those ones. Well, we'll match up to 6% of whatever you put in. Now, personally, I would find it. If that, for me, that's free money. But there are folks who, you know.
Pride.
Left corner, three on the way. Got it.
Excellence.
Yes, it counts. And a foul.
Commitment.
Drops the hammer. Thank you and good night.
For Badgers, they're not just words. They're words to live by.
It's over. Let's have a party.
This is your radio home for the Badgers.
Catch all the Badgers men's basketball action in the Big Ten this year, right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
Hi, I'm Sean Cleary. I'd like to take a quick 30 seconds and talk to you about the most important part of a Cleary building, the foundation. Without it, you won't be able to stand the test of time. At Cleary, our foundation is made up of some truly amazing people. Our Cleary family rises to the challenge every day, and it shows when that shamrock is applied. So if you are looking for a new challenge in our all-new corporate office or out on the construction site, join the Cleary family today by clicking on careers@clearybuilding.com.
I lived alone and was having problems with my landlord. He's a creep. One night I'm watching TV and I hear my landlord letting himself in.
Hey, get out. You can't keep coming in.
I'm just here to fix your fridge and spend some time together.
Get out. I'm reporting you.
Don't make a federal case of it.
A federal case? Sexual harassment in housing is against federal law. If you are harassed, file a complaint with HUD. Go to hud.gov/fairhousing. If you fear for your safety, call 911. Fair Housing. The law is on your side. A message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
If you've been listening, you know you can get your free credit report at annualcreditreport.com. But how do you use it? Paying attention to key pieces of information on the report, including your personal information, open credit accounts, and credit inquiries, can help you not only understand your credit standing and catch any errors, but regularly checking your credit report may also help you identify potential fraud or identity theft. Everyone is entitled to a free credit report from each of the three main credit bureaus once every 12 months. Yet only one in three Wisconsin adults actually obtain the report each year. An easy way to remember to check your report is to simply mark your calendar. Picking dates like February 2nd or 2-2 make it even easier to remember. Go to annualcreditreport.com to get started with your free credit report, and don't forget to keep listening for more tips. This message has been brought to you by the United Way of Southwood and Adams County's Financial Stability Coalition.
I'm a wife and the mother of two kids. And when I get to work in the precinct house and put on my uniform, I can tell you, as a police officer, we're building partnerships. This should be happening everywhere. So the police should be reaching out to this community. And this community should reach out to the police. That's the way to make this a safer place.
Start the conversation and help stop crime. To learn the five things you can do, go to ncpc.org/preventviolentcrime. A message from the National Crime Prevention Council and the Bureau of Justice Assistance.
Wake up and text. Text and eat.
Mm-mm.
Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time.
Ugh.
Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Lows level off around 10 above. Tonight, under mainly cloudy skies, south winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow, snow likely, highs level off around 30. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow night, lows level off around 7 above. 1 to 2 inches of snow tomorrow through Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 12.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news, talk, and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
People who really know about inhaling something and the good that it does you. Of course, I'm talking about Dom and Crute.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Pay $15 each for the training. This is Jim Hightower saying, guess what? NRA then uses these worker training fees to fund its lobbying efforts that let restaurants pay poverty wages. And that, kids, is how inequality happens.
We'll be right back.
The Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
Now, you may remember we talked about this case down in Florida where the governor down there decided, yeah, you know, I don't like this state attorney. I want to get rid of him. Suspended him, I guess. Sent him to the curb because I guess the claim was he wasn't going to uphold the law. Now, this guy's elected by the people to come do a job. I believe as an attorney, as a state attorney, you've got discretion on who you prosecute and you know, if you can win cases. I don't know that I want a governor, you know, coming into those places and putting the heavy hand on it. But the judge came and said that, you know what, the governor was wrong, violated the Constitution, and this guy should have never been suspended and should be back to work. Now, the governor's not, I don't think he's ever going to put him back. But it shows how much these folks are willing to abuse the system. And here to share some thoughts on this is Andrew Warren. Andrew is the duly elected state attorney for the Tampa area, the person who was affected by this. That's why I asked him back to come explain what was going on. Andrew, thanks for taking time for us.
Rick, thanks so much for having me back.
So walk me through, first, what happened? You know, just so we're completely clear on what happened to you and what the governor actually did.
So back in August of last year, the governor suspended me without warning. I was doing my job. I was actually sitting in the grand jury supervising the indictment of two 40-year-old cold cases that my office had solved. And sheriff's deputies came in, basically told me I'd been suspended, and they escorted me out of the building, totally out of left field. And, you know, from that moment, we saw it as a political stunt. We ended up filing a suit in federal court. The governor's rationale for suspending me was he claimed that I had these blanket policies of not prosecuting things. I had spoken up about the criminalization of abortion after the Supreme Court decision that overturned Roe v. Wade. I had criticized states that were passing these laws that were really harsh on gay, lesbian, transgender individuals and violating their constitutional rights. And the governor basically looked at those things and just said, well, this guy's not going to follow the law, just as you said. And so he suspended me. And then I'm out of a job. I mean, the Florida Senate has to be the ones to remove me. But the governor suspended me and replaced me with, you know, an acolyte of his. So long story short, we ended up going to court. And it took months. There was ultimately a trial on it, you know, live witnesses, people are testifying. And in federal court in Florida, and the judge made very specific findings, as you said. In short, he said, I did nothing wrong. I did my job really well. The governor's allegations against me were totally false. They were without any factual merit whatsoever. And he said that Governor DeSantis broke federal law and state law. But, and you know, the kicker to this, the judge said he didn't have the jurisdiction to put me back in to office. He basically said it had to go to state court. And he called on the governor to reinstate me. He said, look, if the governor, the facts are clear, Andrew didn't do anything wrong. Governor, you broke the law. I can't force you to put him back in, but you should put him back in.
Yeah, but again, the laws don't matter. It's the ideology. And I'm sure that the person that he replaced you with is an anti-woke warrior who's going to go after the, you fill in the blank. Because it's ideological. It's not about upholding the law. It's not about doing what's right for the public. It's about their blind faith ideology and hatred of others.
That's right. I mean, what's crazy is that, you know, they made all these allegations against me that are totally false, and they just paint this caricature of me, you know, like, oh, he's a radical militant. They use the word militant, woke, which I don't even know what that means. And the governor's people didn't even know what that means. They just said, you know, it's a term they use to basically demonize the other side. But yeah, he appointed someone. And look, she used to work in my office. My beef isn't with her because it's the governor, you know, that's right. The fight we're in. But what's disconcerting about the whole thing is you have someone who wasn't elected, not accountable to anyone except the governor who put her in place. That's how kingdoms and tyrannies work. That's not how democracy works. I mean, elected officials need to be accountable to the people. It's just, it turned our democracy upside down on its head.
Now, the interesting thing, Andrew, is I've had a couple people, the last time you were on, weigh in and say, well, if he's not going to go after, you know, following the law, because at the time everyone assumed that you had come out and said, as some people have said, you know, I'm not going to go after women who have sought care in other states. I'm not going to do this. And they thought, they truly believed you said that. I'm looking at Illinois right now. The governor there, you know, proposed an assault weapons ban, and immediately you had like 70 county sheriffs come out and say, we're not going to enforce this at all, publicly, basically issuing press releases. We're not doing this. What would stop a governor like Pritzker from going, say, fine, we're going to replace all of you? So for me, this is one of those double-edged swords. I got my conservative warriors going, we'll get that guy, without understanding that it comes both ways.
Yeah, it absolutely does. And in fact, that happened in Florida, too. There was discussion of it wasn't even a total ban. I think it was a registry for assault weapons. And members of the Sheriff's Association and certainly one elected sheriff said, we're never going to enforce that. And it came up during trial. And the governor's people at trial, with a straight face, tried to tell this federal judge, well, we're looking into whether we're going to suspend that sheriff. And the judge was like, are you effing kidding me? I mean, you were saying that, but the governor appeared at like an event with him after he said it. It's because he's a Republican and the sheriff's a Republican. There was no it. This was all political. I said it from the beginning. And now 6 months later, after a trial on the merits, a federal judge confirmed the same thing. He said this was a political hit job from the beginning. And to your point, Rick, we don't want one elected official taking other elected officials out of office. That's not how democracy works. That's how tyrannies work.
Well, absolutely. And this is where if DeSantis had a problem with you, you know, go run a candidate next election, go down there, stump for that candidate, fund him, do whatever you got to do. But this is heavily fascistic. This is the kind of stuff that we would look at other countries and condemn. But yet, you know, again, I listen to some of my conservative friends trying to do the mental gymnastics of justifying because, well, he wasn't going to go after the wokosphere. You didn't actually say any of that stuff, though.
No, and it's just, you know, a symptom of how divisive our politics have become. And it's really sad when people, they sacrifice common sense for partisanship.
Yeah, we bought the hat.
Yeah, I mean, look, when we're right, we're right. When we're wrong, we're wrong. I'm a Democrat. Democrats aren't right all the time. Like, our leaders make mistakes, and Republicans do too. But our politics have become so divisive. It's no matter what, the other side is always wrong, and my side's always right. I mean, the judge told the governor, you've broken federal and state law. You should do the right thing and reappoint him. It's a very simple fix. And we went to the governor afterwards and said, you put your hand on the Bible and swore to God to uphold the law. Are you going to uphold it? And the governor's response, or through his, you know, press office, was like, no, we're not, you know.
Because there's nobody to hold us accountable and to make us do it. Because eventually you replace all of the, you go and you replace all the people who disagree with you. Eventually you have a bunch of sycophants who are going to do whatever you want. So there's no legal recourse whatsoever. There's nothing to stop them from tyranny, as you've pointed out. And it's interesting. It's interesting that comes up, because all of my conservative friends love to tell me how tyrannical Democrats are.
Yeah. Yeah, again, you know, when we're sacrificing our loyalty to the fundamental values of our country, the rule of law, free speech, democracy, the fact that elections matter, and it doesn't matter if our side's always right and the other side is always wrong, you know, that's when America starts to crumble.
No, we're in scary times right now. You listen to the Rick Smith Show with Andrew Warren. He's the duly elected state's attorney for Tampa, Florida, ousted by Governor Ron DeSantis. Like we've been talking about, the judge said, you violated the law, Ron. You broke the law. Put him back to work. You want to check out his website, andrewwarrenfl.com. We'll get links out on social media. Now, I'm not a lawyer, not a prosecutor, but there is some prosecutorial discretion. There are crimes you can go, yeah, these are lower down on my want to waste resources going after. They're much bigger fish to fry, so to speak. You know, chasing a woman across the border if she got an abortion. I don't know that rises high on the list of crimes that we want to indict. Would you have that right as the state attorney to choose not to do those things, just as sheriffs right now still have the choice to go, it's a small crime, I'm going to let it go. Is there such a thing?
There absolutely is. I mean, it's called prosecutorial discretion. We all know the phrase. That's exactly what it means. I mean, we want our prosecutors to set priorities. We don't want prosecutors to treat every crime equally. I mean, I was asked earlier today during an interview, well, you know, is it fair to say that you were aggressively prosecuting these low-end crimes? And you know what? No, we weren't aggressively prosecuting panhandling and driving on a suspended license with the same level of aggressiveness that we're prosecuting rape and murder and robbery. Absolutely not. I mean, let's have some common sense about this. We try to put resources in the place to maximize public safety, to go after the crimes that pose the biggest threats to public safety. And not all crimes are created equal. Yeah. So that's what prosecutors have been doing since the beginning of time. I mean, that's what they should be doing. They should be transparent about where their priorities are.
And your priorities are why people elected you, if I'm not mistaken. It's kind of the reason that we elect you guys, so that when you come before us, you lay out your record and say, this is what I've done. Now, we can argue that's good or bad, and there's an argument to be had on both sides. But this is our system right now. You don't go and usurp that by saying, you're not doing what I want you to do, so I'm going to replace you with someone who's going to do what I want them to do.
That's right. And you know, interestingly, in the judge's opinion, he said just that. I mean, he said there can be legitimate disagreements about the best way to, you know, be a state attorney, the best way to maximize public safety, the best way to prioritize resources. Those are the types of issues that elections turn on. Those are not the types of issues that suspensions should be based on. And that's why he was saying the governor broke the law. I mean, the governor violated my First Amendment rights to free speech because he disagreed with the things I was saying. He disagreed with what I stand for as an elected official. The governor broke state law by suspending me for things which you can't suspend me for. I mean, I didn't commit a crime. I didn't neglect any duty. It was just a difference of opinion, and it was a political hitch up.
Yeah, what's interesting to me, Andrew, is I had a teacher on the show a couple years ago. It's been several years. And he said, you know, the one positive that's coming out of this Trump era is that we're getting a firsthand, a hands-on lesson in civics. We're learning the powers of attorney generals. We're learning, you know, the names of election officials, state's attorneys. We're finally finding out how important all of these positions have always been, but we never talked about, because who secretaries of state in each state, who knew we even had them? Right. Now we're finding out just how important those jobs are and how important they are to not be so hyper-political, hyper-ideological. Do you agree with that?
I do. I mean, that's certainly a silver lining that you have to dig deep to find in what's happened recently. But I agree that people are learning about the importance of these things. I mean, think about what happened in Georgia, right? Where Donald Trump picks up the phone and calls the Secretary of State and is like, hey, we need to find whatever the number was, 15,000 votes. And if you're in North Korea or China, the Secretary of State says, yes, sir, I'll go do it. But in America, it's not how it works. And the guy stood up for what's right, for our fundamental values. And what did he get for it? Death threats, people protesting against him, saying he's not, you know, needs to be removed because this was a Republican. Yeah. I mean, again, I'm repeating myself, but when we start sacrificing our values for partisanship, that's the beginning of the end, or at least the beginning of the end of a stable, functioning democracy.
Now, you guys have sent a letter to the governor's office, you know, saying, look, you lost. You know, the judge ruled this, put me back to work. Have you gotten a response from that letter?
Not from the governor. His press office, you know, put out some political spin that read as if they hadn't even looked at the opinion. I mean, they're just saying things that are completely false. Well, Andrew Warren was, you know, suspended for neglect of duty, and the judge confirmed it. No, he didn't. The judge said the exact opposite. But the governor hasn't answered the simple question of, are you going to uphold the law as you swore on the Bible to do when you were sworn in as the governor of Florida? That's it. Yes or no? You're going to follow the law? Yes or no? Or are you going to do what's convenient for you?
Now, for me, this is an important, this is a really important case. This is really important because this guy is on track to potentially be one of a next president, potentially. I hope not, but we'll see. But this kind of dictatorial kind of decision, this kind of behavior, I fear at a higher level.
Rick, I do too. You know, it used to be that politicians would campaign on policy, on vision, on optimism and the direction they wanted to take the country into. And now, after the Trump era, or after Trump, you have people who are trying to promote themselves just based on being a carnival barker, you know, on pulling these political stunts. It's really sad. It is really sad. And it's not, I mean, look, there's a lot of focus on me in this because I'm the one who got suspended. I'm the one fighting back. But this is much bigger than just me.
Yeah.
This is about when government has too much power and we don't hold people accountable for breaking the law. It's the little guy that gets hurt, right? It's the unions that get trampled upon. It's the teachers. It's the single moms. It's the people who can't fight back. It's the people whose opinion may be a minority opinion. And it's very easy for us to, you know, when the referee makes a bad call that goes in favor of our team, to close our eyes to it. But the right thing to do is to stand up and say, that's not right. We have to stand up for our rights. That is the most important thing, those fundamental freedoms.
Last question I got for you, kind of two parts. One, when were you last elected? Are you going to run for re-election? And I got to wonder what happens if you win in re-election. Will he resuspend you? And then how can we help get you resources to make sure that when you run again, that you have the resources to get that? And how can we help? I guess that's the other part of it.
Well, so I was elected in 2016, re-elected in 2020. So I'm up again in November of 24. I haven't made any decisions about that. My focus has been on getting reinstated so that I can serve out the last 2 years of the term that I was elected to serve. You can learn more about, you know, our fight at AndrewWarrenFL.com. First name, last name, AndrewWarrenFL for Florida.com. And again, I mean, this is so much bigger than me. This is about fair elections. This is about free speech. This is about the rule of law. And it shouldn't matter if you're Republican or Democrat. This should bother you. It should bother you when elected officials break the law and judges say you broke the law and their response is, so what?
Wow. I mean, my mind is in this space where I'm going, if the tables were flipped, if this was a Democratic governor, you know, suspending one of these sheriffs, I can't imagine the right-wing echo chamber and the outrage candy that they would be shoveling down our throats at every minute. This would be all we would hear about. And sadly, I haven't heard as much as I want to. So, Andrew, I hope you'll come back and keep us up to date with what's going on. And I'm hoping to keep out there keeping the fight on.
Thanks so much, Rick. Be happy to be back. And look, we're going to win this thing. We'll keep fighting until we do.
Good stuff. The website, AndrewWarrenFL.com. We'll get links out on social media. I want to hear your thoughts. You can email me, Rick at TheRickSmithShow.com. Going to take a quick break. Right back to wrap things up. Stick around. You'll listen to The Rick Smith Show. I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in 2. On this day in labor history, the year was 1897, and the founding charter of the Amalgamated Meat Cutters Union was formed out of the merger of seven other unions. What made the Meat Cutters unique for its time was that it included both skilled, or craft labor, and unskilled, or industrial workers. Organizing this complex workforce was made even more difficult because of the diversity of skills and ethnic makeup of the laborers that made up the stockyards. From the Civil War until the 1920s, the stockyards on Chicago's South Side were the heart of the meatpacking industry. Railways from Chicago brought meat raised on Midwestern grazing lands and farms to East Coast markets. In 1880, the Chicago stockyards processed 20 million cows and pigs. The workers who processed these animals worked in deplorable and unsafe conditions for low wages. In 1904, the Amalgamated Meat Cutters Union led a major strike in the stockyards of Chicago. Author Upton Sinclair included the strike in his famous novel, The Jungle. The strike was broken in part by management bringing in scab labor. African Americans were among that scab labor.
Black workers had been largely excluded from union leadership in the yards. At the time, black workers also were often organized into segregated locals, especially in the skilled trades. The failure of the 1904 strike evidenced the importance of organizing workers across racial and ethnic lines. It was an example of the long-standing tactic by management to attempt to divide workers by race and ethnicity, a tactic that continues to this day, highlighting the labor call of United we bargain, divided we beg. Labor History in 2, brought to you by the Illinois Labor History Society and The Rick Smith Show. For more information, go to laborhistoryin2.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on the Twitters at Labor History in 2. Welcome back to The Rick Smith Show. Trump unveiled his education policy today. I'm like, really? Trump's got an education policy? And all it is a bunch of right wing grievances. You know, it's the woke stuff. You know, we're not gonna allow that theory about race that's critical. Nothing on gender identity or ideology. No inappropriate racial, sexual, or political content onto our children, he says. Calls for opening civil rights investigations into any school district that engages in race-based discrimination, particularly against Asians. So this is, again, taking all of these hot-button right-wing talking points, all of the talk radio outrage candy, and making this government policy. This is the problem. This is the problem with governing by F-channel. This is the problem with governing by hate radio. This is the problem of allowing the fringe, well, the inmates to rule the asylum. And I look at this case in Florida. I look at this. Come with me on this journey, if you will. Can you imagine if, you know, Tom Wolf, governor of Pennsylvania at the time, would have come into my county when the sheriff here said, I'm not enforcing any mask mandates. And replaced him with someone said, I'm going to heavily enforce mask mandates. Can you imagine the kind of outrage that the echo chamber would globally? I mean, it'd be across the country within seconds. It would be the lead on that Tucker, and it'd be the lead on Hannity. It would be the lead outrage. And they would hammer on that, look at this abuse of power. You don't hear, you hear nothing about what they've done to this guy down in Florida. And he's right. It's not about him. It's about the fact that a governor can come in and throw out a duly elected official that he doesn't agree with his policies on. Now, as was stated, the judge was very clear. There's no evidence that this guy ever said he wasn't going to uphold the law. He never said, I'm going to deliberately not chase down those women who get abortions in other states. I'm not going to go through their garbage. He didn't say any of this stuff. Now, I personally would want someone to say that, because I don't know that we want people, you know, digging through women's garbage to find out if, you know, maybe they did. And here's the other part. It's not even a crime yet. I mean, this is the thing. It's this idea that we're going to make a law in the future that he's saying he's not going to uphold if and when we pass it. If he actually said it and the judge said he didn't. But again, this was a power grab. And if you let him get away with it at this level, it's just a state attorney. What's the big deal? Big deal is this was an elected official. This was someone that the people of that area said, I cast my ballot. This guy won an election. Our system is you take people out at the elections. You don't do these heavy-handed things. You don't do this in America. And this guy wants to be president. So where does that end? Do we see it happen with?
The Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council present the story of Cynthia and Ed.
My mother was always very active and independent, and she was familiar with her neighborhood. But one day, out of the blue, she stopped at the stop sign for much longer than usual. And she didn't know whether she should go forward or turn or just stay at the stop sign. She wasn't even really sure where she was at. She was very concerned. It was very unsettling for her.
It's important for you to talk to someone about it, to bring the family in on it. I felt so much better after my son told me, Mom, I don't want you to worry or be afraid. I'll be there for you and we'll figure it out.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids 1320 AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.